There's a lot you can tell about the state of a country by watching its citizens protest. This is Bamako, the capital of Mali, earlier this year. The hostility towards France is clear and unsurprising. Mali was once a French colony. The abuses of that era have not been forgotten. In 2013, French troops teamed up with Malian forces to fight an insurgency in the north. 9 years later, there's little to show for it, and French troops have begun to withdraw. But why are so many of these protesters carrying Russian flags? And why are there posters of Richard Wagner, the 19th century German music composer, a man who was deeply anti-Semitic, a favorite of Adolf Hitler's, and whose music provided the soundtrack to the Nazi movement? The answer is that Wagner's image has become a symbol for Malians who support a private Russian military company called the Wagner Group, an organization that has no website, no telephone number, no physical address. Wagner is so secretive that officially it does not exist.
The Wagner Group doesn't carry out regular operations. They run misinformation and influence campaigns online that coincide with what the mercenaries are doing in the field.
The secrecy around Wagner is something that's done on purpose, and it makes it really difficult to be certain how the Kremlin is using Wagner, because it can't be held accountable for actions of a group that it has no official links to.
The links between Wagner and Moscow aren't official, but they are there, and they go right to the top. Wagner is reportedly owned by Yevgeny Prigozhin, an oligarch known as Putin's chef, a nickname he picked up after hosting numerous dinners for the Russian president. Prigozhin owns restaurants, a museum, many companies, including one called the Internet Research Agency, thought to have been located here in St. Petersburg. It is currently sanctioned by both the US and the UK for running extensive disinformation campaigns. And when you look at the countries where Wagner has been deployed, the Ukraine, Syria, the Central African Republic, Mali, a pattern emerges. Wagner mercenaries are deployed under the guise of military advisors to a country in political turmoil. They help prop up the embattled government, and in exchange, Wagner and possibly Russia get access to natural resources. Then comes the disinformation and propaganda that makes the arrangement seem like the country's best course of action. And when you scan social media in Mali over the past year, it explains, at least in part, why Malians are waving Russian flags while burning effigies of the French president.
The social media posts that we saw really concentrated on blaming France for the militant insurgency in the northern parts of the country. So essentially calling into question the legitimacy of France while also promoting Wagner as a more reliable security partner.
So what Wagner did is they funded anti-French rhetoric and pro-Russian campaigns while deploying their mercenaries to control certain areas and, as expected, gain access to Mali's gold.
The argument of an invisible Russian hand in social media is an invention of the French elites who won't accept that they failed. Because the Russians only started to take an interest in the region after the withdrawal of French troops was announced by French President Emmanuel Macron.
Siga Jara is the only Malian journalist who agreed to speak with us. He owns Maliaktu, one of the many Malian news outlets that now take a pro-Russian line, which isn't hard to do given the soft power push coming from Moscow. Russian state-backed news outlets RT and Sputnik have both created French language channels that focus on Francophone Africa and tend to cast Russia in a very favorable light while placating local authorities.
De cette route qui est particulièrement dangereux, eh bien c'est l'armée malienne qui escorte ces bus de voyageurs.
To increase their reach, RT and Sputnik have made their content freely available to African news organizations, and as many as 4,000 across the continent have taken them up on that offer. Just take a look. This is MaliJet, a popular news aggregator. Look where much of the content is coming from. Sputnik News, Sputnik News, Sputnik News. Gerard calls the collaboration a win-win because news organizations like his lack the resources to produce this kind of journalism.
We can't cover all local news properly, let alone international news. This vacuum was always filled by French media alone. So RT France and Sputnik have allowed us to diversify our sources. Channels like Radio France International and France 24 do focus on local stories, but they give prominence to dissident voices, and that is perceived by Malians as interference.
Russian state-owned media outlets like RT have a very clear mission to cover issues that are marginalized by the so-called mainstream media. And this really resonates with African countries, including in Francophone Africa, where there have been complaints about the way that Africa is portrayed in the Western media, that it's all Ebola and civil war, whereas Russian media outlets are sharing positive stories about Africa.
By focusing disproportionately on positive news, RT and Sputnik neglect more concerning stories. Since coming into power in last year's coup, Mali's new military rulers, backed by Wagner's mercenaries, have become increasingly authoritarian. Dissenting voices have been thrown in jail. The media climate is now so hostile that numerous journalists have abandoned the profession entirely. As for international media, both French state-backed outlets, France 24 and Radio France International, had their licenses suspended earlier this year after they reported on allegations of atrocities being committed against civilians in the north by Malian troops and Russian mercenaries.
Since Wagner's arrival, there have been growing accusations of abuses against civilians by the army, and Wagner's mercenaries and any news outlets that report these stories are banned. So there is clearly a desire to prevent any discussion about Wagner's activities and the abuses carried out by the army.
It also sends a very clear message to remaining local journalists and also foreign media outlets that are operating in Mali that certain topics are off limits. The concern there is that for regular citizens, it's going to become all the more difficult to access information that doesn't fit within this accepted narrative.
Private military companies like Wagner have become a key component of the Kremlin's irregular warfare strategy. In 2015, Russian private military companies were active in 4 countries. Now they're in 27, and most of those deployments have been to Africa. With unstable governments looking for protection, colonial legacies that can be exploited, and under-resourced news outlets vulnerable to manipulation, Africa is an ideal theater for Russia to advance its interests.
Russia is courting Africa, and I think the success of the relationship is clearly demonstrated in the reaction of African countries to Russia's recent invasion of Ukraine, where many African countries chose to abstain from UN votes on the issue. Many haven't called out Russia or condemned its actions at all.
Thanks to the disenchantment with France, the Russians can present themselves as the new godfathers and the local population may be open to it. And then, just like that, the Russians take the place of France and gain more and more influence on the continent.
In 1958, Mali gained independence. But when France pulled out, it left behind a news media that operates, for the most part, in French. Paris has always used that to its advantage, but now Moscow and its media apparatus are speaking the same language. The challenge ahead for Malian journalists and their colleagues across the region is how to ensure that their news outlets are not used to peddle soft power for foreign interests.
African media must unite to form collectives that produce quality journalism, and they must find a sustainable economic model that will guarantee independence. Because if we don't do that, we will be cannibalized by foreign news outlets with big budgets. And those outlets will not defend the interests of Africans.